Exodus chapter 5. That's in the white pages there, Isaac. Voices have kind of left me today. They told me I was on my own. So, a couple weeks ago, I was driving down 287 on my way to Bridgeport to get loaded up for work. And wasn't nothing to listen to. So I thought, well, what a good time to think. You know, I don't do that very often, think. So I thought, well, I'll give it a try today. And so I had some things going on, and I mean, the Lord just really whooped me. He got a hold of me and just beat me all the way up to Bridgeport and then all the way back down to Euless with this thought. And then I told Preacher about this thought, and he said, well, strike while the iron's hot. So here's what we have tonight, okay? First off, I love you. All right, we're family. The folks here tonight, we are family. We are saved. It's safe for me to say that everybody in this room is saved tonight. Okay? It's safe for me to say that you want an intimate relationship with the Lord. You show that by being here tonight on Wednesday night. So, I want to bring a devotion, if you will, on this subject of who do you think you are? Okay? There's a lot of things that was going on in my mind that day, flying down the interstate, and then the Lord just brought to my attention how I'd gotten just a little bit too big for my britches. I know that's kind of East Texas talk, but for those of you that don't know, these are britches. Okay, I was getting a little too big for them here. Just make sure we're on the same page. So, I was getting too big for my britches. He gave me this thought, and then I was thinking, who in the Bible? What passage comes to mind? And immediately, my mind doesn't work like everybody else's. I have to get jump-started. I woke up 1 o'clock this morning. My mind still hasn't gotten going, and the day's almost over with. But in Exodus, the Lord gave me this. In Exodus chapter 5, in chapter 4, the Lord has already gone to Moses and told him that he wants him to lead his children out of bondage. Okay? So, at the end of chapter 4, Moses and Aaron get together with the children of Israel, and they explain everything that the Lord has given them about them. They're going to move away from the Egyptians. So the Lord told Moses, you're going to lead my children out of Egypt, but you're going to have to go to Pharaoh to do it. All right? You have to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. All right? So in chapter 5 and verse number 1, we'll begin reading there. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Read verse number 2 again. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. Lord, help me with this message. Lord, clear my thoughts. Help me to say what what you've given me to preach on tonight, Lord. Use it for your honor and your glory. In your name we pray, amen. So when I was putting this message together, I got to thinking, somewhere between my dad's 63 years old, my youngest is 11, okay? So somewhere in between there, we have created a society that truly believes that they are owed something. They don't have to work for a paycheck. They should just be given money. That they are owed respect and that they don't have to earn it. We let our children talk to adults any way they want to. That didn't fly back in my day. I walk up to two adults talking, and they had to acknowledge me before I could open my mouth. Because if I'd have said something, my mom or my dad would have been right there, smacking me in the back of the head. But for whatever reason, we as parents let our kids slide on that. Hey, listen, you know, I know you're talking about the things of God, and I know that's important and all, but hey, Oscar's got something that's more important than that. That's what your parents are saying when you let your kids come up. When they come up to you, just start talking. That's rude. I just thought I'd throw that in there. We get offended when an adult corrects our children. We get mad when an adult comes and tells us that our kids have done something wrong. Who are they to tell me that my kid did something wrong? Don't you need to be worrying about yourself, about all them problems you got? That's the mindset that we have today. We have the mindset that we are above everybody else. What's going on in our life is more important than what's going on in yours. And that carries on over into our Christian life as well. We are so quick to lay the blame on somebody else instead of taking responsibility, whether we are wrong or right. Whatever happened to the days when a man would look you in the eyes when he shook your hand? Or when he gave you his word, he would actually do what he said he would do? Whatever happened to ladies wanting, not only wanting, but begging and pleading with their husbands, their dads, their moms, whatever the case may be, to help somebody out? Whatever happened to those days? There was a day when you would look for ways to help someone, but now, just as soon as you see someone who might need help, oh man, I hope they didn't see me. I'm gone. I got more important things to do. What have we done to our society? We are so caught up in ourselves that we don't even care about others, much less God. We let that carry over into our Christian life in the way that we serve God. Brother Bob, will you let in? I have asked some people to come tonight. First off, to make welcome the President of the United States. This is President of the United States. Nobody's going to take his picture. Where's the Secret Service? You're President of the United States. You're supposed to have Secret Service with you. He is somebody. Wouldn't y'all agree? This is President of the United States. Whether you like him or not, regardless, somebody somewhere voted this man in office. Go ahead, Brother Bob. Send in the greatest baseball player to ever play the game. This is nothing but the best here. Well, he's got a Yankee uniform on, but I think that's Derek Jeter's number. We won't hold that against him. There is a trend that I'm setting up for you here, okay? This, slide down just, Mr. Ruth. This is the President of the United States. When he walks in a room, people pay him attention. After all, this is the President of the United States. Okay? This, for this sermon tonight, this is Babe Ruth. Okay? In my opinion, the greatest baseball player ever. It's my opinion, no offense, sir. When you say the name Babe Ruth, everybody knows that. Yeah. Regardless, he is somebody. Send in the next one. Besides the obvious, who can tell me who this is? This, in case it's not ringing a bell, this is Mr. Sunday Morning. He only comes to church on Sunday morning. Because again, he's somebody. He don't have to be here Sunday night or Wednesday night. Got better things to do. In his mind, his ways are way above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. It is an honor and a privilege for us to get to bless him with our presence. Would you go in and send in the last one, Brother Bob? Now this young man here, this is somebody. This young man here is our visitors, the people we pass on the street. This is the one. How long was Brother Brian at the mission, worked with the homeless? I was homeless for a while. This is that person that us, the average, this man right here would never go shake his hand because he's only here on Sunday morning. And that's beneath him right there. The whole point of this illustration, regardless of what man has made him out to be, regardless of what man has made him, regardless what he has made himself out to be, he ought to be on his knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, begging God and thanking God for his grace and his mercy. Even though in a short period of time, as young as the president is, he made president a very, very great earthly accomplishment. Okay? This guy right here, he can sure hit that baseball. What is it, 500 feet? 465? Long ways. Boy, he can hit it. He's got, what, 1,000 home runs in the, whatever the case is. He's somebody. When he walks out onto the field, boy, them pitchers, they have to think. This is Babe Ruth right here. He can hit anything, and he's going to knock it out the ballpark. Regardless of his talents, regardless of his personal skills, regardless of what he has gotten up every morning for his whole life and thrown the ball, hit the ball, ran the bases till his feet hurt, till his hands bled. All that he's put into the game of baseball is nothing . He should be on his face before God begging for mercy. This guy, real sharp dressed. Again, Sunday morning Christian. When I get dressed on Sunday morning, this is what I want to look like. That is snazzy. In his mind, he's somebody. Right. Oh, your mama might have told you that. Yeah. Your wife might tell you you're somebody. That has clouded your judgment. This has clouded his judgment. Okay? This has clouded his judgment. Did you see? When this fella came in and he sat down, what happened? People got up and moved. Y'all can have a seat. The message tonight is who do you think you are? Regardless of what you play on TV, regardless of what you play when you come to church, you're nobody. I hate to break this to you, but there's this old saying that goes like this. You ain't nothing, your mama ain't nothing, your daddy ain't nothing, you ain't ever going to be nothing. And that's a fact. Just turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quick. Let me point something out to you. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10 is what Paul says. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. As the old song go, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all. Our what? What are some things that we've gotten just a little bit too big for our britches over? Because whether you like it or not, whether you see it, whether you don't see it, the thing is, everybody in this room has got this too big for their britches itis. We come to church on Sunday morning and we do exactly like they did. As soon as the visitors get here, boy, we're gone. Well, I can't talk. I can't go talk to them. I can't say. No, they might ask me my name. They might want to talk to me a little bit more. They may want to be my friend. Oh, who knows? They might even like this church and come back. I'm more worried about, hey, did you see? We're more worried about gossiping and complaining and murmuring and backbiting and telling everybody how much they're losers. Which has got our ego, our own self-made ego, up here. What are some things that we have gotten a little bit too big for our britches? Number one, our service to God. Whatever happened to the days of having what many pastors and men of God call a servant's heart? Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the days where somebody would come up and say, hey, preacher, have you eaten today? Amen. Hey, Brother Russell, I know some shoes you got on. I think they've gone their last mile. Let's go get you another pair of shoes. You know, when I grew up, I'm going to brag on that church a little bit that I grew up in. Every Sunday for lunch, my parents and I never ate at home for as long as I can remember. When's the last time you took your pastor out to lunch? When's the last time you took Miss Melody out by her new dress? When's the last time that you went to somebody else in the church? Hey, you know what? I noticed that you didn't have a suit to wear. Do you not like suits? I'll buy you a tie, man, if you want a tie. When's the last time you did something for somebody other than yourself? I mean, after all, nobody else is going to go buy you that brand new LCD 52-inch flat screen with all the bells and whistles on it. Ain't nobody else going to buy it for you. I've been waiting for that for a long time. Somebody buy that for me. It ain't happened yet. When was the last time you did something? Hey, but we're more worried about, hey, I'll do that, but they're going to have to pay me. You know, my time is important. It's going to cost me gas money to get over there. Or I got to get my parents to take me over there and, well, they're going to want something out of it. It's the whole point, our ego. We're too big for our britches. We're too big for a prayer life with God. There was a time when you would get up in the morning and you'd read your Bible before you did anything else. Okay, and this is in Ray chapter 5, I think, verse 3, something like that. If you read your Bible at nighttime and not in the morning, go with me again. This is Ray chapter 5, okay? In my mind, you're telling God that the things you did that day was more important than having a walk with Him. That's just my opinion, okay? So when we say get up in the morning and have your walk with God, that means that I've been married for a couple years now. When I come home from work, husbands, come on, don't leave. First thing that you should do is at least acknowledge your wife that you're there. Hey, good looking, how are you? Good to see you today. That sort of thing. Well, you know what? It's funny because the Lord's kind of the same way. When you wake up in the morning, He wants to hear, good morning, Lord. How can I serve you today? instead of I'll do it later. I'll do it later on tonight before I go to bed. That way I can get it done. And see, you're putting yourself before the things of God. Whatever happened to the days when our children would make cards and baskets and take to the pastor, take to the youth pastor? Or when they'd get together with their parents and say, hey, you know what? Oh, so-and-so, that's shut-in. They really don't have much of visitors, anything like that. Can we go over there and say hi? Now, I understand the commission kids, we do that, but who says that we have to do it only 13 times out of the year? Whose fault is that why they don't? It's not my fault. They're not my kids. We're so caught up in making sure that we get to our games or we get our own personal needs and desires out of the way that we really don't have time for anything else. Don't have time for nobody. And when I don't have time for my wife, she lets me know about it. How do you think the Lord feels when you walk into church and you just plop down on your blessed assurance? You don't say nothing to nobody. Your attitude right then when you walked in the door, that's already cut off whatever communications you'd have had with the Lord that day anyway, so it's pointless for you to be here. You're just filling space, wasting air, and when preacher gets up here on Sunday morning to preach and he has to look at all of that out there with the looks on your faces, it's a shame. I'm serious. I get up on Sunday morning and I have sought the Lord, picked out the songs that we have, knowing what the Lord has for what preacher wants us to sing with the Lord's guidance. So I pick out a song. I try to keep them upbeat. It's Sunday morning. Let's have a smile on our face. We're here to serve the Lord, worship the Lord. But when I look out at you, this is what I get. And then you wonder why when the pastor gets up here and he kind of lets you have it. I'd let you have it all the time, too, if I had to look at that. That's pitiful. Pitiful. Whatever happened to the days where, you know, remember back when David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation? We've lost the joy of our salvation. We've lost the joy of coming to church and serving the one who died for us. If you're a parent, raise your hand. If you got youngins, let me see your hands. If you don't have youngins, let me see your hands. All right. There is somebody in your life, Brother Chad, can I have Nate? I'm going to go make a sacrifice. Brother Derek, can I have Ezra? I need to go make a sacrifice. Take Eli, what Brother Russell said. you remember how when the Lord said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You got any friends in here today? Could you give your only begotten son to die for that friend? Would you? I'm not going to lie. You catch me on the right day, I'll give you both my boys. We've forgotten. We've left our first love. Last thing I want to go over with you real quickly is this whole thing of humility. You know, I grew up just like Brother Russell and Brother Derek, Brother Chad, some of the others in here. We grew up around great men of God. Great. Brother Ron Garris, B.G. Buchanan, Dr. Jim Vineyard. I'd kill a man with that much right there. Great men of God. Great. You know what all those men of God had in common? Don't get me wrong, Brother Vineyard could get up here and tell you how many different ways he killed a man back in when he was in the Green Berets. Brother B.G. Buchanan, for what I remember, was a sophisticated kind of preacher. One thing they all had in common was when you talked to them face to face, they were the most humblest men you'd ever known. Brother Russell, Saturday again, we got to see him, and I told Preacher, that has to be the most humblest man I've ever met. Just has that personality about him that everybody wants to talk to. I can see how he had and how he has a big church now, how he had a big youth department, how he had a big church now. He has that personality about him. Just something. People flock to him. It's this thing called humility. But we're so scared to get up here in the choir, and when Brother Ray asks you to sing a solo in front of the choir, well, we pitch a fit about it. Why can't we just sing for the Lord? You know, when I get up here, I lead singing on Sunday morning, and I have to look at all that, and I get to going, and I'm trying to keep count here. Preacher's singing his own thing. Brother Russell's trying to help. It's difficult. It's very difficult. Makes you just want to throw in the towel. Nobody cares. All I care about is what's for lunch and who's playing a ball that afternoon. There's a time when you were on time for church. There was a time when you volunteered. I remember when we, may not be when we started it, but at least when I started putting that sign-up sheet back there in the back, there wasn't any room for anybody else's name. That whole sheet was taken, and that was the singing and the preaching. But now I have to go to Preacher. Preacher, do you mind announcing that again? I think I got four names on there right now. And two of them are kids. Do we not care about the things of God anymore? Is our own stinking pride more worthy? That our Lord and Savior sending His only Son to die on the cross for you. As pitiful and rotten and sorry as you are. As pitiful and rotten and sorry that I am. I may not do it every morning when I get up, but sometime throughout the day, I thank the Lord. I grew up in a preacher's home. I went to Iraq and cursed God to His face on the battlefield. And then, the next day, I'd beg and plead with God to spare my life. But for whatever reason, the Lord found it in His mercy and in His grace to let me live, let me come back home. And when I came back home, I got to throw this in. There was the biggest I mean, huge yellow ribbon on my mama's house, on the front door, praying for me. When's the last time you prayed for somebody that you loved? When's the last time you did something other than something for yourself? We don't care. Hey, that was a good message you preached there Sunday night, preacher. Thank you for that. I'll see you. I don't know. When's Easter again? I'll see you then. I only came today because, you know, that continual dripping Bible talks about made me come. Shame on you. So, what do we do about that? What do we do about our pride? What do we do about our prayer life? What do we do about our service to God? What do we do when we see someone that has a need? What do we do when a visitor comes in and sits on the back row and it's invitation time? You know what you ought to be doing. You ought to be fighting Brother Jerry to get back there to him. But for whatever reason, oh, he's already back there. We'll let him do it. We don't care about nothing but for ourselves. And at some point between my dad's generation and my kids' generation, we are raising a society of spoiled little brats. And I don't blame the Lord for picking me up by my neck and wearing my rear end out. I don't blame him not one bit. I deserve it. If I got everything I deserved, I'd be in hell today. But the thing is, how many times you heard somebody stand up and say that? Yeah, that's right. Boy, that's good saying. Good saying, you know. It was good first 1,000 times I heard it, but just the way you say it this time, boy, that, whew. What's the problem with that, though? Well, you sitting over there saying, yeah, that's a good saying. You know that answer. You know what the answer is to that. I'm only going to do something for God if they'll pay me. Ever heard that one? Ever used that one? We wonder why our country's the way it is. We wonder why everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Second Chronicles 7:14. What's that say? My people which are called by my name. You a Christian? Are you a Christian tonight? Are you saved? If my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves and pray. I can stop right there. Everything else, take care of itself. When's the last time you came down here to the altar and preacher had to say, Brother Chad, you've already sang that song about 20 times. Do you mind finding another song? Or hey, somebody else, will you go take his place? He's been standing up there for a long time. Been standing up there a long time because people have been down here getting right with God. Well, the thing is, we have our favorite spot down here on the altar. And if somebody's in our favorite spot, I'll catch it next time. Is next time ever come, really? When's the last time that moms and dads and children were down here begging and pleading God? Hey, you know what? That message that Brother Ray preached tonight, boy, that just really wasn't for me. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't even think he knows what he was talking about. When's the last time you came down here and you asked God why you didn't get something out of a message? What's the old saying? Two reasons you come to the altar. Because God talked to you, and because he didn't. But, hey, you know, I don't want you to have to do anything that would hinder your pride, hinder your ego, because it's a long walk down here, and, you know, God talks to people down here. So I mean, if you don't want to get right with God, I wouldn't come down here. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed.